Now, with the referendum on its way, many questions regarding its functionality have arisen. However, amidst these questions, a lot of misinformation has spread. Words such as apartheid and divisive have been used to describe the voice. So what is true? And how can we identify the misinformation that is out there? On the phone with us now is Professor Dominic O'Sullivan from the Political Science Department at Charles Sturt University, the author of a recent article in The Conversation about why the voice isn't apartheid or a veto over Parliament, to talk about fake news. Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning.
So, first of all, let's clear this up. Is the voice an apartheid system?
No. And what I was responding to in the conversation was a suggestion from a partisan think tank that the voice was a bit like the South African apartheid system. And the reason one can say so confidently that the answer's no is that the South African apartheid system stopped black people from voting, and coloured people for that matter, or non-white people. It stopped them from voting. It stopped them from using the same beaches as white people. It required them to queue up in separate queues at the post office. Stopped them from living in the same neighbourhoods. Indeed, my white father-in-law remembers his coloured neighbour's house being bulldozed by the authorities because coloured people were no longer allowed to live in that particular neighbourhood. So what the voice to Parliament is proposing is nothing like that. And when people say that it is, it's a very dishonest kind of scaremongering that they're adopting to try to get people to develop fears that are simply not justified. And while we all need to make up our own minds on how we're going to vote and consider the issues as we see them, I think it's helpful if we do that from a perspective of honesty and looking only at facts, not false truths that other people would like to be true to strengthen their arguments.
Well, Professor, what is it exactly we're voting for?
Well, it's interesting that there still seems to be a bit of misunderstanding about that. But what we're voting for is to enshrine in the Constitution a representative body. So a body elected by First Nations people to offer advice and ideas to the Parliament and the government on whatever issues that body thinks are important. So it might be, in the areas of health, for example, or how to improve educational outcomes for the First Nations people, how to reduce the rates of imprisonment. All those sorts of things are things that one would expect such a body to raise, but because it will be elected by the people and accountable to the people, it will have the authority to decide those sorts of things for itself.
If there were sensible minds 123-odd years ago, it's probably how we should have set things up under Federation.
Well, some people might argue that, yeah. But obviously at Federation, the objective was to exclude First Nations people from the new Commonwealth, and the Constitution set that out, and it still contains some of those provisions. So this is a way of changing that, or from a yes perspective, putting it right, from a no perspective, making it worse. So whether we want to be yes or no is something we've all got to decide for ourselves, but my interest as a political scientist who basically thinks that democracy is a good thing is that democracy can only really be a good thing if we all know what we're talking about, if we all have accurate information in front of us. And hopefully as the campaigns get underway, there'll be a little bit more honesty in the yes and no cases, and we'll know exactly what we're voting on when it comes time to vote.
So, Dominic, why has there been so much misinformation about The Voice?
I think perhaps people on the no side are not so confident that their true arguments will attract support. And while I don't want to suggest for a moment that all the no arguments are racist, it's certainly true to say that a good number of them are. And if people come out and say, I think you should vote no because I'm racist, that is not going to get them very far.
No.
So you make up things like a connection with apartheid, or you make up things like the suggestion that some people have made that The Voice would be like the Waitangi Tribunal in New Zealand and be able to veto Parliament. That's simply untrue. But it's more likely to convince people than saying, I'm racist and I think racist people should vote no. If you want to have an honest conversation with people and really convince people of your side, you've got to do a bit better than that.
So how can we? Is there, as ridiculous as the arguments, like comparing it to apartheid, have been, is there anything that we can do to better understand people who are trying to put forward the no suggestion?
Well, I think as with...
You know, charity in discussion is obviously going to be the most helpful.
Yeah, I think as with anything in politics, don't necessarily accept whatever anybody says to you as absolute fact. Go and do your own checking. One of the really good things that some of the news media do, the ABC and Associated Press and some of the others, is what they call fact checking. And if somebody raises an idea that sounds a bit odd or perhaps a bit unlikely to be true, they'll go and talk to not just one, but several experts on the topic and find out. And they'll write an independent story that'll give us the kind of information we need to tell us whether something's true or not. So looking out for those sorts of things, if you hear something that sounds like it might be a little bit odd, it can be a good way to go. But looking for your own information and looking in authoritative places. We often have outfits on both the left and right of politics that call themselves think tanks. What they are usually is lobby groups that want us to think like them. And sometimes their ideas will be well-informed, but they'll always have that bias. So I would suggest, avoid going off to think tanks when you want information about something, when you want independent information.
How about the government, Dominic? Has the government made a good effort in making information accessible and available to the public so far?
Well, I think the government's position is very clearly on the yes side of the argument. And it's made its case to a degree, but I think what's important to remember here is that while the government supports this idea, it's not the government's idea per se. It's not something that the government thought of. The idea comes from the Uluru dialogues and the Uluru conversation from the heart. So it comes from large numbers of First Nations people who gathered together around the country and discussed the question of how do we want to be recognised in the Constitution. Some people, of course, said we don't want to be recognised at all. Some people said we want to be recognised in different ways. But there was a large consensus on The Voice as being one of the ways in which people want to be recognised. So I think from the government's point of view, while it's important that it has its view and it lets people know that it's in favour, it's also important that it doesn't take over the debate and crowd out the people whose idea it was and the people who have their own reasons for thinking it's a good idea. It's important that those reasons come to public attention.
But it's credible of them to stand behind something that they see as morally and ethically progressive and correct.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And just as it's reasonable for Liberal and National parties to say that most of its people are voting no. That's quite reasonable. But I think it's important that we understand that the arguments are much bigger. This isn't a Labour versus Coalition debate. It's a debate about how First Nations people want to be represented and how they want their ideas to be presented and influence public debate. And I think it's important that we listen to those voices as much as we listen to the voices of political parties if we want to get a really good understanding of what this is about.
If you've just tuned in, this is On The Record on The Sound Alternative, and I'm Jeff. I'm talking at the moment to Professor Dominic O'Sullivan from the Political Science Department at Charles Sturt University, and we're talking about the voice and misinformation. Dominic, how does misinformation undermine democratic debate?
Well, it means that there's a risk that when people vote, they won't necessarily be voting for the reasons that they think are important. They won't necessarily be voting based on truth. And if we think something is a good or bad idea, we presumably come to that opinion because we've got a view of how it's going to work in practice. And if people are telling us a whole lot of lies about how something is going to work in practice, we might end up voting in a different way to the way we would have voted if we knew the true story. So it's important that we all know the true story so that we can be sure that how we end up voting is a reflection of what we truly think, not a reflection of what somebody else thinks.
So who should we be listening to, Dominic? How can we get the right information? You mentioned before, fact-checking sites like the ABC provides, or, when you look to the US and things like PolitiFact. Who else besides these sites should we be chasing down for information?
Well, I think the very first thing to do is to look at the question that we're going to be asked to vote on in the referendum.
Yep.
It's a fairly short question. And, looking at that tells us exactly what the decision is we've got to make. And the question is basically that the Constitution be altered so that there will be a voice to Parliament. And then from that we might ask, what will this voice do? How will it make people's lives better? Will it make people's lives better? Will it make them make no difference? And those are ultimately political opinions that we have to form. But reading stuff that's been written by experts, watching debates on TV, there are lots of debates and information meetings being held around the country, going along to those, asking questions, talking it through with our friends and families, and so on. But being alert to the fact that there is a lot of misinformation being thrown around. Some people have suggested that there's a kind of an Americanisation of Australian politics starting to creep in through these debates. If we look at, some of the Trump campaigns in the US where people do just make things up and hope that people will believe them and be convinced by ideas that are just made up, is something that's happening a little bit, and we ought to be cautious about it. But some news media have very partisan opinions. The Australian, for example, is very much on the no side, and that's fine. It's allowed to be, but we should be careful. When reading its stories, that we keep that in mind. These are written by people who are from the no side of the argument. Similarly, other papers will publish things that are written by people from the yes side of the argument. And when we're reading it, I think it's important to keep that in mind, that people aren't necessarily coming from neutral perspectives, because as with anything in politics, there isn't an objectively right or wrong answer. Otherwise, we'd all vote the same way. The vote would be 100% yes or 100% no. And, a lot of people are saying that, you know, this debate is dividing Australia. But we're allowed to have different ideas. You know, democracy exists to manage those different ideas. So it worries me, as somebody who believes in democracy, that people are suggesting that, you know, some of us having different opinions from others is a bad thing or a problem. Maybe that's just the way we are as humans. We all think differently, and the referendum is a way of managing those differences and settling the differences in a fair and reasonable way.
Well, I mean, it's I don't really see it being divisive from my point of view. I really just see people that generally express a racist point of view just stepping up. Again, I know I shouldn't be saying saying that it's racist, but the reactions that one gets from people, the Peter Duttons of the world, tends to be a little bit predictable, unfortunately.
But they are predictable, yeah. Yeah, they are. And then people like Peter Dutton have a particular view that they put forward that some people obviously agree with, others disagree with. But as with any perspective, before we agree with it, it's a good idea to do our own thinking and our own reading and our own talking and gathering of information and so on.
And diligently fact-check, right?
Well, that's right. And accepting that it is legitimate for people to have different views, the fact that we're having a debate isn't a bad thing in itself, and that sort of seems to be a view that's coming from the No campaign. It's divisive, which is, I think, an absurd thing to say in a democracy. Of course people think differently, and of course we divide along different philosophical lines on this and all sorts of issues. But as you say, there are some perspectives on the No side that are quite overtly racist. And, you know, one would hope that, you know, some of the people who are voting No have better reasons than that for their perspectives, and that those perspectives will come out a bit more strongly in the debate and perhaps overshadow the mistruths, and in the process allow the Yes campaign to present its counter-arguments and put its arguments against truths, not against untruths.
Well, Dominic, everybody has the opportunity to get out there and find the truth, find the information easily. Let's hope they use those keyboards to good effect.
Well, that's right. There's just as there's a lot of misinformation around, there's an awful lot of accurate information or just honest differences of opinion. So it shouldn't be a difficult debate to engage in, and hopefully as the referendum draws nearer, people will start to do that.
Well, Professor, thank you so much for joining us this morning and giving us the heads up on the saga of misinformation in the Voice referendum.
Thanks very much.
That was Professor Dominic O'Sullivan from the Charles Sturt University's Political Science Department talking to us there about misinformation and the Voice.